ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमम्
ततो जयमुदीरये. Continuing in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 6th chapter, Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates. Nothing is unobtainable for devotees who have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, the original source of everything. The Lord is a reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities. For devotees, therefore, who are transcendental to the modes of material nature, what is the use of following the principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, which are all automatically obtainable under the influence of the modes of nature? We devotees always glorify the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore we need not ask for anything in terms of dharma, kama, artha, and moksha. Purport. In an advanced civilization, people are eager to be religious, to be economically well situated, to satisfy their senses to the full extent, and at last to attain liberation. However, these are not to be magnified as desirable. Indeed, for a devotee, these are all very easily attainable. Bilvamangal Thakur said, Mukti swayam ukalitanjali sevate sman, dharmartha kama gataya samaya pratiksha. Liberation always stands at the door of a devotee, ready to carry out his orders. Material advancement in religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation simply wait to serve a devotee at the first opportunity. A devotee is always in a transcendental position. He does not need further qualifications to be liberated. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14.26, Sagunan Samatityaitan Brahmabhuhyaya Kalpate. A devotee is transcendental to the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature because he is situated on the Brahman platform. Prahlad Maharaj said, Agunena cha kankshitena. If one is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he does not need anything in terms of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. In Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, in the beginning of the transcendental literature, it is said, dharma prochitta kaitavotra. Dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are kaitava, false and unnecessary. Nirmatsaranam. Persons who are completely transcendental to the material activities of separateness, who make no distinction between mine and yours, but who simply engage in the devotional service of the Lord are actually fit to accept Bhagavat Dharma. Dharman Bhagavatan Iha. Because they are nirmatsara, not jealous of anyone, they want to make others devotees, even their enemies. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya remarks, Kankshante mokshagamapi sukham na kankshato yata. Devotees are not desirous of any material happiness, including the happiness derived from liberation. This is called anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma nyanavritam. Karmis desire material happiness and jnanis desire liberation, but a devotee does not desire anything. He is simply satisfied by rendering transcendental loving service at the lotus feet of the Lord and glorifying him everywhere by preaching, which is his life and soul. Hare Krishna. Gadadhar Pandit used to sit and read Srimad Bhagavatam for hours and hours to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the two sections of the Bhagavatam which he read most prominently were the Leela of Prahlad Maharaj and Nrisimha and Dhruva Maharaj. Text 26. Dharmartha kama iti yo bihitas trivarga. Iksha trayi nayadam damau vivida chavarta manyetad etad akilam nigamasya satyam swatmarpanam swasuridam paramasya punksa. Religion, economic development, and sense gratification, these are described in the Vedas as three varga, or three ways to salvation. Within these three categories are education and self-realization, ritualistic ceremonies performed according to the Vedic injunction, logic, the science of law and order, and the various means of earning one's livelihood. These are the external subject matters of study in the Vedas, and therefore I consider them material. However, I consider surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu to be transcendental. A verse from Bhagavad Gita. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraiguna Pravarjuna Nirdvanvo Nityasatvaso Niryoga Shema Atmavan. Krishna advises not to become concerned and caught up with the Vedic sections which deal with the three modes of material nature, but one should take shelter of Krishna, be established in the self. Purport. These instructions of Prahlad Maharaj stress the transcendental position of devotional service as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mamcha yovyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan pramabhuya yakulpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. One who fully engages in devotional service of the Lord is immediately raised to the transcendental position, which is the Brahma-Bhuta stage. What stage is he raised to? Any education or activity not on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, the platform of self-realization, is considered to be material. And Prahlad Maharaj says that anything material cannot be the absolute truth, for the absolute truth is on the spiritual platform. This is also confirmed by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 2:45, where he says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna, be transcendental to all of them. To act on the material platform, even if one's activities are sanctioned by the Vedas, is not the ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life is to stay on the spiritual platform, fully surrendered to the Paramapurush, the Supreme Person. This is the object of the human mission. In summary, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and injunctions are not to be discounted. They are means of being promoted to the spiritual platform. But if one does not come to the spiritual platform, the Vedic ceremonies are simply a waste of time. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:28. Dharma swanustita pumsam. Premanande. We're very lucky. Somehow we're very lucky. Duties, dharma, executed by men, regardless of occupation, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. What kind of occupations are useless labor? Yeah. If it doesn't provoke attraction, then it's shrama. If one very strictly performs the various duties of religion but does not ultimately come to the platform of surrendering to the Supreme Lord, his methods of attaining salvation or elevation are simply a waste of time and energy. Text 27. Gyanam taritadamalam durvapanam durvapamaha Narayano Narasaka Kilana Ra Naradaya ekantinam bhagavatas tadik akinchananam padaravinda rajasa plutadehinam syat. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the well-wisher and friend of all living entities, formally explained this transcendental knowledge to the great saint Narada. Such knowledge is extremely difficult to understand without the mercy of a saintly person like Narada. But everyone who has taken shelter of Narada's disciplic succession can understand this confidential knowledge. Purport. It is stated here that this confidential knowledge is extremely difficult to understand, yet it is very easy to understand if one takes shelter of a pure devotee. This confidential knowledge is also mentioned at the end of Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, Sarvadharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. This knowledge is an extremely confidential secret, but it can be understood if one approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the bona fide agent, the spiritual master, in the disciplic succession from Narada. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to impress upon the sons of the demons that although such knowledge can be understood only by a saintly person like Narada, they should not be disappointed. For if one takes shelter of Narada instead of material teachers, this knowledge is possible to understand. Understanding does not depend upon high parentage. The living entity is certainly pure on the spiritual platform, and therefore anyone who attains the spiritual platform by the grace of the spiritual master can also understand this confidential knowledge. 28. Shrutam etam maya purvam gyanam vijnanam samyutam dharmam bhagavatam shuddham narada deva darshanat. Prahlad Maharaj continued, I received this knowledge from the great saint Narada Muni, who was always engaged in devotional service. This knowledge, which is called Bhagavad Dharma, is fully scientific. It is based on logic and philosophy and is free from all material contamination. 29-30. Sri Daitya Putra Uchuhu Prahlada Tvam Vayam Chapi Narten Yam Bidhame Gurum Etabhyam Guruputrabhyam Balanam Api Hishravau Bhalasyanta Purastasya Mahatsango Duranvayaha Chindhi Na Sangshayam Saumya Syached Vishramba Karanam. The sons of the demons replied, Dear Prahlad, neither you nor we know any teacher or spiritual master other than Shunda and Amarka, the sons of Shukracharya. After all, we are children and they are our controllers. They are our controllers. For you especially, who always remain within the palace, it is very difficult to associate with a great personality. Dear friend, most gentle one, would you kindly explain how it was possible for you to hear Narada? Kindly dispel our doubts in this regard. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 6th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Prahlad Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmates. Chapter 7. What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. In this chapter, to dissipate the doubts of his class friends, the sons of demons, Prahlad Maharaj states how, within the womb of his mother, he had heard from the mouth of Narada Muni, who had instructed him in Bhagavad Dharma. When Hiranyakashipu left his kingdom and went to the mountain known as Mandarachara to execute severe austerities, all the demons scattered. Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadhu, was pregnant at that time, and the demigods, mistakenly thinking that she carried another demon in her womb, arrested her. Their plan was that as soon as the child took birth, they would kill him. While they were taking Kayadhu to the heavenly planets, they met Narada Muni, who stopped them from taking her away and took her to his ashram. Until Hiranyakashipu's return. In Narada Muni's ashram, Kayadhu prayed for the protection of the baby in her womb, and Narada reassured her and gave her instructions on spiritual knowledge. Taking advantage of those instructions, Prahlad Maharaj, although a small baby within the womb, listened very carefully. The spirit soul is always apart from the material body. There is no change in the spiritual form of the living entity. Any person above the bodily conception of life is pure and can receive transcendental knowledge. This transcendental knowledge is devotional service, and Prahlad Maharaj, while living in the womb of his mother, received instructions in devotional service from Narada Muni. Any person engaged in the service of the Lord through the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master is immediately liberated. And being free from the clutches of Maya, he is relieved of all ignorance and material desires. The duty of everyone is to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of God, of the Supreme Lord, and thus become free from all material desires. Regardless of the material condition in which one is situated, one can achieve this perfection. Devotional service is not dependent on the material activities of austerity, penance, mystic yoga, and piety. Even without such assets, one can achieve devotional service through the mercy of a pure devotee. Text 1. Narada Muni said, although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he was the greatest of all devotees. Having thus been questioned by his class friends, the sons of the asuras, he remembered the words spoken to him by me and replied to his friends as follows. Purport. When he was in the womb of his mother, Prahlad Maharaj listened to the words of Narada Muni. One cannot imagine how the baby and the embryo could hear Narada, but this is spiritual life. Progress in spiritual life cannot be obstructed by any material condition. This is called Ahaituki Pratyata. Reception of spiritual knowledge is never checked by any material condition. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj, from his very childhood, spoke spiritual knowledge to his class friends, and certainly it was effective, although all of them were children. Prahlad Maharaj said, when our father Hiranyakashipu went to Mandarachara mountain to execute severe austerities in his absence, the demigods, headed by King Indra, made a severe attempt to subdue all the demons in warfare. Alas, as a serpent is eaten by small ants, so the troublesome Hiranyakashipu, who always inflicted miseries upon all types of people, has now been defeated by the reactions of his own sinful activities. Saying this, the demigods, headed by King Indra, arranged to fight the demons. When the great leaders of the demons, who were being killed one after another, saw the unprecedented exertion of the demigods in fighting, they began to flee, scattering themselves in all directions. Simply to protect their lives, they hastily fled from their homes, wives, children, animals, and household paraphernalia. Paying no heed to all these, the demons simply fled. 6. The victorious demigods plundered the palace of Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, and destroyed everything within it. Then Indra, king of heaven, arrested my mother, the queen. As she was being led away, crying in fear like a kurari captured by a vulture, the great sage Narada, who at that time had no engagement, appeared on the scene and saw her in that condition. Narada Muni said, O Indra, king of the demigods, this woman is certainly sinless. You should not drag her off in this merciless way. O greatly fortunate one, this chaste woman is the wife of another. You must immediately release her. King Indra said, in the womb of this woman, the wife of the demon Hiranyakashipu is the seed of that great demon. Therefore, let her remain in our custody until her child is delivered, and then we shall release her. Purport. Indra, the king of heaven, decided to arrest Prahlad Maharaj's mother, because he thought that another demon, another Hiranyakashipu, was within her womb. The best course, he thought, was to kill the child when the child was born, and then the woman could be released. Narada Muni replied, the child within this woman's womb is faultless and sinless. Indeed, he is a great devotee, a powerful servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you will not be able to kill him. Purport. There have been many instances in which demons or non-devotees have attempted to kill a devotee, but they have not been able to destroy a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord promises in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Kaunteya pratidani hi name bhakta pranashiti. This is the declaration by the Supreme Personality of Godhead that his devotee cannot be killed by demons. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of the truth of this promise. Narada Muni told the King of Heaven, it would be impossible for you to kill the child, even though you are demigods. And certainly it would be impossible for others. 11. When the great Saint Narada had thus spoken, King Indra, being respectful to Narada's words, immediately released my mother. Because of my being a devotee of the Lord, All the demigods circumambulated her. Then they returned to their celestial kingdom. Purport. Although King Indra and the other demigods are exalted personalities, they were so obedient to Narada Muni that King Indra immediately accepted Narada Muni's words concerning Prahlad Maharaj. This is called understanding by the Parampara system. Indra and the demigods did not know that a great devotee was in the womb of Kayadhu, the wife of Hiranyakashipu, but they accepted the authoritative statements of Narada Muni and immediately offered their respects to the devotee by circumambulating the woman in whose womb he was living. To understand God and the devotee by the Parampara system is the process of knowledge. There is no need to speculate about God and his devotee. One should accept the statements of a bona fide devotee and thus try to understand. Prahlad Maharaj continued, the great saint Narada Muni brought my mother to his ashram and assured her of all protection, saying, my dear child, please remain at my ashram until the arrival of your husband. After accepting the instructions of Devarshi Narada, my mother stayed in his care without fear from any direction, as long as my father, the king of the Daityas, had not become free from his severe austerities. My mother, being pregnant, desired the safety of her embryo and desired to give birth after her husband's arrival. Thus she stayed at Narada Muni's ashram, where she rendered service unto Narada Muni with great devotion. Reported as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 9.19.17, Matra swastra duhitra va navivikta sano bhavet valavan indriya gramo vidvansam apikarshati. One should not remain in a secluded place with a woman, even one's mother, sister, or daughter. Nonetheless, although one is strictly prohibited from staying with a woman in a secluded place, Narada Muni gave shelter to Prahlad Maharaj's young mother, who rendered service to him with great devotion and faith. Does this mean that Narada Muni transgressed the Vedic injunctions? Certainly he did not. Such injunctions are intended for mundane creatures, but Narada Muni is transcendental to mundane categories. Narada Muni is a great saint and is transcendentally situated. Therefore, although he was a young man, he could give shelter to a young woman and accept her service. Haridas Thakur also spoke with a young woman, a prostitute, in the dead of night, but the woman could not deviate his mind. Instead, she became a Vaishnavi, a pure devotee, by the benediction of Haridas Thakur. Ordinary persons, however, should not imitate such highly elevated devotees. Ordinary persons must strictly observe the rules and regulations by staying aloof from the association of women. No one should imitate Narada Muni or Haridas Thakur. It is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vignena Bhujai. Even if a man is very advanced in learning, he cannot understand the behavior of a Vaishnav. Anyone can take shelter of a pure Vaishnav without fear. Therefore, in the previous verse, it has been distinctly said, Devarshir Antike Sakuto Bhaya. Kayadu, the mother of Prahlad Maharaj, stayed under the protection of Narada Muni without fear from any direction. Similarly, Narada Muni, in his transcendental position, stayed with the young woman without fear of deviation. Narada Muni, Haridas Thakur, and similar acharyas, especially empowered to broadcast the glories of the Lord, cannot be brought down to the material platform. Therefore, one is strictly forbidden to think of the acharya as an ordinary human being. Gurushu Naramatihi. Text 15. Narada Muni delivered his instructions both to me, who is within the womb, and to my mother, who is engaged in rendering him service. Because he is naturally extremely kind to the fallen souls, being in a transcendental position, he gave instructions on religion and transcendental knowledge. These instructions were free from all material contamination. Purport, it is said here, dharmasya tattvam vijnanam cha nirmalam. The word nirmalam refers to the spotless dharma, spotless religion, or in other words, Bhagavad Dharma. Ordinary ritualistic activities constitute contaminated religion, by which one benefits by developing material wealth and prosperity. But uncontaminated pure religion consists of understanding one's relationship with God and acting accordingly, thus fulfilling the highest mission of life and returning home back to Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj advised that one elevate himself to the standard of Bhagavad Dharma from the very beginning of life. Komara acharit pragno dharman bhagavataniha. The Lord himself also speaks of pure uncontaminated religion when he says, sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Bhagavad Gita 1866. One must understand one's relationship with God and then act accordingly. This is Bhagavad Dharma. This Bhagavad Dharma means Bhakti Yoga. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatya Shuvairagyam Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam. By rendering devotional service, you've got to get to 34. You got to 34? Of the second chapter, Divinity and Divine Service? Those 34. You got to get it here. By rendering devotional service under the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Bhagavatam 127. To be situated on the platform of pure religion, one should perform bhakti yoga in relationship with Krishna, Vasudev. Text 16. Because of the long duration of time that has passed, and because of her being a woman, and therefore less intelligent, my mother has forgotten all those instructions. But the great sage Narada blessed me, and therefore I could not forget them. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, the Lord says, Mam hi parta vyapashritya yepi su papayonayaha striyo vaishastata shudras. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be a low-born women, vaishyas, merchants, and shudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. The word papa yoni refers to those who are less than shudras. But even though a woman may not be papa yoni because of being less intelligent, she sometimes forgets devotional instructions. For those who are strong enough, however, there is no question of forgetting. Women are generally attached to material enjoyment, and because of this tendency, they sometimes forget devotional instructions. But even if a woman practices devotional service strictly according to the rules and regulations, the statement by the Lord himself that she can return to Godhead, tepi yanti param gatim, is not at all astonishing. One must take shelter of the Lord and rigidly follow the rules and regulations. Then, regardless of what he is, one will return home back to Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj's mother was more concerned with protecting the child in the womb and was very anxious to see her husband return. Therefore, she could not consider very seriously the sublime instructions of Narada Muni. Interesting there that it's actually her preoccupation with protecting her child that was distracting her. You know, that was her duty to do that. So naturally, biologically, there's a... out of necessity, there's a way in which being described, women are drawn to certain tendencies. But there, anyone who takes to devotional service transcends that condition and goes back to Godhead easily. Bhavatam api bhuyan me yada shradayate vachaha Vaishradhi ti shudahata stri balanam cha meyata. Prahlad Maharaj continued, my dear friends, if you can place your faith in my words, simply by that faith you can understand transcendental knowledge, just like me, although you are small children. Similarly, a woman can also understand transcendental knowledge and know what is spirit and what is matter. Purport. These words of Prahlad Maharaj are very important in regard to knowledge descending into cyclic succession. Even when Prahlad Maharaj was a baby within the womb of his mother, he became fully convinced of the existence of the supreme power because of hearing the powerful instructions of Narada and understood how to attain perfection in life by bhakti yoga. These are the most important understandings in spiritual knowledge. Yasadevi para paktir yata devi tatagarao tasyaite katita hirta prakashante mahatmanaha. And to those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. These are the most important understandings in spiritual knowledge. Then, Atashi Krishna Madi na bhaved grayam indriye. Sevam mukhi hi jivadhau, swayameva sparatyada. No one can understand Krishna as he is by the blunt material senses, but he reveals himself to the devotees, being pleased with them for their transcendental loving service to him. That's from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.234. And Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyash chasmi tatvataha tatumam tatvato gyatva vishite taranantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. That's from Bhagavad Gita 18:55. These are Vedic instructions. One must have full faith in the words of the spiritual master and similar faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the real knowledge of Atma and Paramatma and the distinction between matter and spirit will be automatically revealed. This Atma Tattva, or spiritual knowledge, will be revealed within the core of a devotee's heart because of his having taken shelter of the lotus feet of a Mahajan, such as Prahlad Maharaj. In this verse, the word Bhuyat may be understood to mean let there be. Prahlad Maharaj offers his blessings to his class friends, saying, also become faithful like me. Become bona fide Vaishnavas. A devotee of the Lord desires for everyone to take to Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, however, people sometimes do not have staunch faith in the words of the spiritual master who comes by the disciplic succession, and therefore they are unable to understand transcendental knowledge. The spiritual master must be in the line of authorized disciplic succession, like Prahlad Maharaj, who received the knowledge from Narada. If the class friends of Prahlad Maharaj, the sons of demons, were to accept the truth through Prahlad, they would certainly also become fully aware of transcendental knowledge. The words Vaisharadhidhi refer to intelligence concerning the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is extremely expert. The Lord has created wonderful universes by his expert knowledge. Unless one is extremely expert, he cannot understand the expert management of the Supreme Expert. One can understand, however, if one is fortunate enough to meet a bona fide spiritual master coming in the disciplic succession from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Mother Lakshmi, or the Kumaras. These four sampradayas or disciplic successions of knowledge and transcendence are called the Brahma Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, and Kumar Sampradaya. Sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishpala mataha. The knowledge of the Supreme received from such a sampradaya or disciplic succession can give one enlightenment. If one does not take the path of disciplic succession, if one does not take to the path of disciplic succession, it is not possible for one to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one understands the Supreme Lord through devotional service with faith in the disciplic succession and then advances further, he can awaken his natural love for God, and then his success in life is assured. Text 18. Just as the fruits and flowers of a tree in due course of time undergo six changes, birth, existence, growth, transformation, dwindling, and then death, the material body which is obtained by the spirit soul under different circumstances undergoes similar changes. However, there are no such changes for the spirit soul. Purport. This is a very important verse in understanding the difference between the spiritual soul and the material body. The soul is eternal, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:20. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin nayam bhutva bhavitava na bhuya ajo nitya shashvato yam purano na hunyate hunyamani sharire. For the soul there is never birth nor death, nor having been once been does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, undying, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. The spirit soul is eternal, being free from waste and change, which take place because of the material body. The example of a tree and its fruits and flowers is very simple and clear. A tree stands for many, many years, but with the seasonal changes, its fruits and flowers undergo six transformations. The foolish theory of modern chemists that life can be produced by chemical interactions cannot be accepted as truth. The birth of a human being's material body takes place due to a mixture of ovum and semen. But the history of birth is that although the ovum and semen mix together after sex, there is not always pregnancy. Unless the soul enters the mixture, there is no possibility of pregnancy. But when the soul takes shelter of the mixture, the body takes birth, exists, grows, transforms, and dwindles, and ultimately it is vanquished. The fruits and flowers of a tree seasonally come and go, but the tree continues to stand. Similarly, the transmigrating soul accepts various bodies which undergo six transformations, but the soul remains permanently the same. Ajo nitya shashvato yam parano nahanyate hanyamane sharire. The soul is eternal and ever-existing, but the bodies accepted by the soul are changing. There are two kinds of soul. What are the two kinds of soul? The super soul, the Supreme Personality of God, and the individual soul, the living entity. As various bodily changes take place in the individual soul, different millenniums of creation take place in the Supreme Soul. In this regard, Madhvacharya says, Shadvikara Shariyasya Na Vishnos Tad Gatasya Cha Tad Adinam Shariram Cha Gyapva Tan Mamatam Tyajet. Since the external feature of the soul is not dependent on the body. Rather, the body is dependent on the soul. Yes? Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Unless one understands this truth, one who understands this truth should not be very much anxious about the maintenance of the body. There's no possibility of maintaining the body permanently or eternally. Antavanta ime deha. Nitya-shokta sharirina. This is the statement of Bhagavad Gita 2.18. Aren't we doing that one this month? Did we start on Ekadashi? 36 to 72. Okay. Oh, you already did up to 36 already? Oh, I kept going on 17 for a while. The material body is antavat, perishable, but the soul within the body is eternal. Nitya-shokta sharirina. Lord Vishnu and the individual souls, who are part and parcel of him, are both eternal. Nityo nityanam chetanash chetananam. Lord Vishnu is the chief living being, whereas the individual living beings are parts of Lord Vishnu. All the various grades of bodies, from the gigantic universal body to the small body of an ant, are perishable. But the supersoul and the soul, being equal in quality, both exist eternally. This is further explained in the next verses. Text 19 through 20. Atma refers to the Supreme Lord or the living entities. Both of them are spiritual, free from birth and death, free from deterioration, and free from material contamination. They are individual. They are the knowers of the external body, and they are the foundation or shelter of everything. They are free from material change. They are self-illuminated. They are the cause of all causes, and they are all-pervading. They have nothing to do with the material body, and therefore they are always uncovered. With these transcendental qualities, one who is actually learned must give up the illusory conception of life in which one thinks, I am this material body, and everything in relationship with this body is mine. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 15.7, Lord Krishna clearly says, Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. All the living entities are part of me. Therefore, the living entities are qualitatively the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the leader, the supreme among all the living entities. In the Vedas, it is said, Nityo nityanam chetanash chetananam. The Lord is the chief individual living entity, the leader of the subordinate living entities. Because the living entities are parts and samples of the Lord. Did you know you're a sample of the Lord? Small sample? Their qualities are not different from those of the Supreme Lord. The living entities have the same qualities as the Lord, just as a drop of seawater is composed of the same chemicals as the great sea itself. Thus, there is oneness in quality, but a difference in quantity. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by understanding the sample, the living entity, because all the qualities of God exist in a minute quantity in the living entity. There is oneness, but God is great, whereas the living entities are extremely small. Anor aniyam mahato mahiyam, Katha Upanishad 1:2:20. The living entities are smaller than the atom, but God is greater than the greatest. Our conception of greatness may be represented by the sky because we think of the sky as being unlimitedly big, but God is bigger than the sky. Similarly, we have knowledge that the living entities are smaller than atoms, being 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. Yet the quality of being, the supreme cause of all causes, exists in the living entity as well as in the supreme personality of Godhead. Indeed, it is due to the presence of the living entity that the body exists and bodily changes take place. Similarly, it is because the Supreme Lord is within this universe that the changes dictated by the material laws occur. The word eka, meaning individual, is significant. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Matstani sarvabhutani na chaham te shvavastitaha. Everything material and spiritual, including earth, water, air, fire, sky, and the living entities, exists on the platform of spirit-soul. Although everything is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not think that the Supreme Lord is dependent upon anything else. Both God and the living entity are fully conscious. As living entities, we are conscious of our bodily existence. Similarly, the Lord is conscious of the gigantic cosmic manifestation. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Yasmin jau prithivi chantariksham vignatam andikena vijanayat ekam eva vitityam atmajoti samrit ihovacha sa imam lokam astrijata satyam jnanam anantaram asangham hyayam purushaha. You know that one, right? Asangho hyayam purushaha. That's the most quoted of this of in these phrases, and that is asango. Sango means, and asango means no association. He, I am purushaha. So it's referring to the living entity actually has no association with the material world. We always remain separate, just as the air is within the body. They appear to mix with the body, but they never actually become one with the body. So similarly, we're in this material world, but there's actually a non-connection. We don't belong here. We only identify it through consciousness by our attachment to it. Asango hyayam purusha. Purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vishishite. All these Vedic injunctions prove that both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the minute soul are individual. One is great and the other is small, but both of them are the cause of all causes, the corporally limited and the universally unlimited. We should always remember that although we are equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in quality, we're never equal to Him in quantity. Persons with a small fund of intelligence finding themselves equal in quality with God foolishly think that they are equal in quantity also. Their intelligence is called Avashuddha Buddhaya. For 15 points, where is that phrase from? Avashuddha Buddhaya. It's a very important verse from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Second chapter. It starts Yene Ravindaksha Vamuktamaninas Toyasta Bhavad Avashuddha Buddhaya Aruya Krishna Paramparam Tata Patantya Tonadrita Yushmarangraya. That was spoken by the demigods when they were praying to Lord Krishna within the womb of Devaki. And they said that unless one reestablishes one's relationship with the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever imagined form of perfection he thinks he has achieved, he'll fall down from that situation because he has impure intelligence. It's not actually perfection. Avashuddha Buddhaya means contaminated intelligence. Their intelligence is called Avashuddha Buddhaya, unpolished or contaminated intelligence. When such persons, after endeavoring hard for many, many lives to understand the Supreme Cause, are finally in actual knowledge of Krishna, Vasudeva, they surrender unto him, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Thus they become great Mahatmas, perfect souls. If one is fortunate enough to understand his relationship with God, knowing that God is great, Vibhu, whereas the living entity is small, Anu, he is perfect in knowledge. The individual exists in darkness when he thinks that he is the material body and that everything in relationship with the material body belongs to him. This is called Aham Mama. Janasyamoham. Janasyamoha yamaham mameti. Where's that verse from? Janasyamoho yam aham mameti. You know what it means? Hum mamiti, everything's mine, janasya mahom. Thus, one comes to the position of illusion. Pumsastriya maitini bhava metam, tayor mito hridaya grantamahu aho triya chitta janasya. Janasya moho yamaham mamiti. That's from Lord Rishabhadev, fifth canto, fifth chapter. This is illusion. One must give up his illusory conception and thus become fully aware of everything. Could you grab a fifth canto, please? I just want to confirm that it's which verse it is. Fifth canto. Pumsa striya maitani bhavamitam tayomritu hridaya grantamahu atogriya kshetra sutatavitar janasi moho yamaham mameti describes how we become attached to the... Thank you. How we become attached to the material world, specifically because the male and female are attracted to each other. This is from Lord Rishabhadev's teachings. So what did you hear so far? Pumsastriya, 5-8. 5-8. 5.8. So it's a 5-5-8. Lord Rishabhadev's teachings. Pumsastriya maitini bhavamitam tayor mito hridaya grantamahu atogriya kshetra sutapta vitar janasya moho yamahamameti. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. This morning I was looking out my window and I saw birds are starting to mate in this time of year, and they dance around. Attracting, one attracts the other. I don't know which is which exactly in these different species of birds, but everyone's doing that dance in the material world. It's going on in the spiritual world also, but it's the attraction for Radha and Krishna. Here it gets perverted into a attraction between so-called male and female. Everyone's actually a living entity who's female, but encased in a male or female body. One thinks that I'm this body. And on the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. Thinks in terms of I and mine. Which verse is it? 5-5-8. This is a big chapter, Lord Rishabhadev's teachings. It's a good chapter to learn. This is illusion. One must give up his illusory conception, thus become fully aware of everything. Swarnam yata grava suhemakara shetreshu yogaistadabhigna apnuyat shetreshu deheshu tatatma yogar adhyatma vid brahmagatim labeta. An expert geologist can understand where there is gold and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. Isn't that a nice analogy? There was a story I read a while back about a person who was very poor, and it turned out for many years that he lived on a diamond in a field of diamonds. There were diamonds everywhere, but he didn't recognize them because diamonds look like, dull stones before you take them out. And he sold the property, and then somebody else brought it, and there were diamonds everywhere. that, you know, the next person could see it. Here is a very good example concerning spiritual understanding. Foolish rascals, including so-called yanis, philosophers, and scientists, cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body because they are lacking spiritual knowledge. The Vedas enjoin tad vijnan artam sa gurum eva bigachchet. To understand spiritual knowledge, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Unless one has been trained in geology, one cannot detect gold and stone. Similarly, unless one has been trained by a spiritual master, he can understand what is spirit and what is matter. Here it is said, yogaistat abhijna. This indicates that one who has connected himself with spiritual knowledge can understand that there is a spiritual soul within the body. However, one who is in an animalistic conception of life and has no spiritual culture cannot understand. As an expert mineralogist or geologist can understand where there is gold and can then invest his money to dig there and chemically separate the gold from the ore, an expert spiritualist can understand where the soul is within matter. One who has not been trained cannot distinguish between gold and stone. Similarly, fools and rascals who have not learned from an expert spiritual master what is soul and what is matter cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. To understand such knowledge, one must be trained in the mystic yoga system, or, finally, in the bhakti yoga system. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhakti mam abhijanati. Unless one takes shelter of the bhakti yoga process, one cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita begins by teaching, Dehino sminyata dehe komaran yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. 2.13. Thus, the first instruction is that one should understand that the soul is within the body and is transmigrating from one body to another. This is the beginning of spiritual knowledge. Any person who is not expert in understanding this science or is unwilling to understand it remains in the bodily conception of life or the animalistic conception of life. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasyatma bhuti kunapetridatuke sa eva gokara. Every member, you know that verse? You can look it up. Oh, you don't have shloka book. Yasyatma bhuti, this is spoken by Lord Krishna. Yasyatma bhuti kunapetridatuke swadika. He says that the a person who considers his homeland worshipable to the body, to the self, that that a holy place is just a place to go take bath and not listen to holy people. He has the intelligence like a cow or an ass. Kunape tridatuke means that the body is a bag with three elements, kapha pitta vayu, just a bag. Every member of human society should clearly understand the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, for only in this way can one be spiritually elevated and automatically give up the false illusory knowledge by which one thinks, I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine. That's the secret. If you follow Bhagavad Gita as it is, you'll extricate yourself from the material world, realize your full glory as a spirit soul and a servant of Krishna, and go back home, back to Godhead. And if you don't realize, understand, follow the Bhagavad Gita, then Krishna says, Ashradhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsaravartmani. Then you go back on another path, which is the path of birth and death in the material world. But everything is clearly and perfectly written in the Bhagavad Gita. And if anyone follows that, they can attain perfection in life. Therefore, we stress the reading and mass distribution of Bhagavad Gita as the most important work in the world. It's more important than anything else. This dogged conception should be rejected immediately. One should be prepared to understand the spirit soul and the supreme spirit God, who are eternally related. Thus, one may return home back to God having solved all the problems of life. They're eternally related. We've only forgotten that relationship, and it needs to be rekindled. Then there's all happiness and perfection in life. Sambandha Gyan, knowledge of our relationship. Text number 22. The Lord's 8 separated material energies, the 3 modes of material nature, and the 16 transformations, the 11 senses, and the 5 gross material elements like earth and water, within all these, the one spiritual soul exists as the observer. Therefore, all the great acharyas have concluded that the individual soul is conditioned by these material elements. As explained in the previous verse, Shetreshe Deheshu Tatatma Yogera Dhyatma Vid Brahmagatim Labheta. A spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. How does he get perfection in spiritual life? Cultivating spiritual knowledge. How do you cultivate spiritual knowledge? How do you cultivate a field, huh? By associating with those who have spiritual knowledge. That's a highly recommended way. Can you prove that by Shastra?
In his previous lifetime, Narada Muni served the holy sages, and just by associating with them, he got the mercy.
That's a pretty good proof. We'll take it. Very nice, innovative, good. How else do you cultivate spiritual knowledge?
In Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami says 6 principles that are favorable to devotional service, and among them one of them was association with the devotees.
Mm-hmm.
So that has already been explained. And others are utsaham means enthusiasm, and determination, and
patience,
giving up the worldly-minded, association of the worldly-minded people, and following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. I forgot some. These are some of the points that were.
Also, thank you. It was very good. Nice Shastra point. And Bhagavad Gita, specifically in the 13th chapter, verses 8 through 12, Krishna tells what is the process of knowledge. You know the verse? Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa shantirajavam acharyopasanam saucham atma stayaram atma vinigraha. So these are mentioned, these 20 items are mentioned as the process to actually get spiritual knowledge. And it begins with humility, prayerlessness, nonviolence, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, and goes on from there. Unalloyed devotion to me, Krishna says. And out of all those items, the most important is that, the unalloyed devotion, because by worshipping Krishna, then we heard earlier, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Gyanayat Yasya Vayagra Janayat Yasya Vairagyam Gyanam Chayata Haitukam. Just by worshipping Krishna, then the concomitant result is knowledge and detachment for the world. Gyan and Vairagya come concomitant factors. Bhuva Mangal Thakur also says, Bhaktis Twais Tirataya Bhagavan Yadi Syad Daivena Na Palati Divya Kishora Muti Mukti Swayam Mukulitanjali Sevates Man Dharmarta, Kama, Gataya, Samaya, Pratiksha. That when I perform devotional service to you, Krishna, that automatically mukti, liberation, dharma, artha, kama, all those other worldly desires for sense gratification, religion, etc., all stand at my door to waiting to serve me. So, the most important item is unalloyed devotional service, mentioned in that list of 20, cultivation of spiritual knowledge. When one comes to the mode of goodness also, this is stressed in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that if we cultivate the mode of goodness, sattva gun, this is the platform from which we can actually experience the soul and see the difference between the soul and the body. Remaining in the mode of goodness and cultivating the mode of goodness are emphasized throughout the Bhagavad Gita as important. Sattvam yad brahmadarshanam. From that platform, we can actually see what is Brahman. We can have some vision of the truth. Otherwise, in Rajas and Tamas, our vision is obscured. We can't have perfect knowledge. Cultivation of spiritual knowledge. The intelligent person who is expert in finding the self within the body must understand the 8 external energies, which are listed in the Bhagavad Gita as follows. Bhumir apo analo vayu kamano bhudir evacha ahankara ityame minna prakritir ashtada, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. These 8 comprise my separated material energies. Bhumi, earth, includes all the objects of sense perception, rupa, form, rasa, taste, gandha, smell, shabda, sound, and sparsha, touch. Within the earth are the fragrance of roses, the taste of sweet fruit, and whatever else we want. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.10.4, Sarva Kama Dugha Mahi, the earth, Mahi, contains all our requirements. Thus the objects of sense perception are all present in Bhumi, or the earth. The gross material elements and subtle material elements, mind, intelligence, and ahankar, false ego, constitute the total material energy. Within the total material energy are the 3 material modes or qualities. These qualities, sattvagun, rajogun, tamogun, belong not to the soul but to the material energy. It is because of the interaction of the 3 material modes of nature that the 5 knowledge-gathering senses, the 5 working senses, and their controller, the mind, are manifested. Then, according to these modes, the living entity gets the opportunity to perform different types of karma within different types of body, with different types of knowledge, thinking, feeling, and willing. Thus, the bodily machine begins to work. This has all been properly analyzed in Sankhya Yoga by the great Acharyas, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in his incarnation as Deva Huti Putra, Kapila. This is indicated here by the word Acharyai. We need not follow anyone who is not an authorized Acharya. Acharyavan Purushoveda. One can understand the truth fully when he has taken shelter of an expert Acharya. The living entity is individual, but the body is a composition of many material elements. This is proved by the fact that as soon as the living entity quits this combination of material elements, it becomes a mere conglomeration of matter. The matter is qualitatively one, and the spiritual soul is qualitatively one with the Supreme. The Supreme is one, and the individual soul is one, but the individual soul is understood to be the master of the individual combination of material energy, whereas the Supreme Lord is the controller of the total material energy. The living entity is the master of his particular body, and according to his activities, he is subjected to different types of pains and pleasures. However, although the Supreme Person, the Paramatma, is also one, he is present as an individual in all the different bodies. Verse, Bhagavad Gita.
I think in the
9th
chapter.
You got it. Go ahead. Kshetrajnam chapimam vidhi sarva kshetrishu bharata kshetra kshetrajnayor jnanam yatach jnanam matamama. Beginning of the 13th chapter, Krishna describes, he says, this is what knowledge is, to understand the difference between the field and the knower of the field. So as conscious beings and in the human form of life, we can become aware of our own consciousness. We can become aware that we're separate from the field. The body is the field that's going on. The heart is pumping. The food is being digested. It's going on. We have nothing to do with that. We're the observer behind that. And beyond that, Krishna says there is the Supreme Soul, the Super Soul, who's the overseer, the permitter. We're not the controller, whereas Krishna is the controller. We're conscious of the field of activities. We can become conscious of ourselves. And Krishna's conscious, and we're conscious of this body. If your foot falls asleep, then you realize that the blood, where the consciousness is permeated through the blood, it gets cut off. You can't feel your foot. And you can experience that there's consciousness throughout the body. It's permeated. Just as the sun shines within the universe, so throughout this body, the shine of the soul, the consciousness, illuminates the body, and it also provides consciousness. But we're only conscious of this particular body, whereas the super soul, the Paramatma, is conscious of all bodies. Krishna knows everything and everyone and everybody. Whereas the limited living entity only knows what Krishna provides him with. Sarvasya chaham radisani vishto matak smritir kyanam apohanam cha. Remembrance, knowledge, forgetfulness, these all things all come from the super soul. Also, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hride sherjunatishtati pramayan sarva bhutani yantra rudrani mayaya. Krishna describes the material body to be a machine, and the soul is a writing on this machine made of material energy, accompanied by the super soul, who is the witness. The material energy is in fact divided into 24 elements. The individual soul, the owner of the individual body, keep count, is the 25th subject, and above everything is Lord Vishnu as Paramatma, the supreme controller, who is the 26th subject. When one understands all these 26 subjects, he becomes a yatmavit, an expert in understanding the distinction between matter and spirit. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 13.3, Kshetra, Kshetrajnayor Jnanam, there it is, 13.3. Understanding of the Kshetra, the constitution of the body, and of the individual soul and the supersoul constitutes real Jnan, or knowledge. Unless one ultimately understands that the Supreme Lord is eternally related with the individual soul, one's knowledge is imperfect. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.19. It has to do with going through many, many births and deaths before one comes to surrender to Vasudeva. Thank you. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Everything material and spiritual consists of various energies of Vasudeva, to whom the individual soul, the spiritual part of the Supreme Lord, is subordinate. Upon understanding this perfect knowledge, one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sadurlabha. We're counting down the seconds until the appearance of Lord Nrisingadeva. He appears in this world because of the love of and devotion of Prahlad Maharaj. Krishna's various forms throughout the world are manifestations of his reciprocation with his various devotees everywhere. And Prahlad Maharaj never forgot the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even amidst the greatest trials and tribulations. Lord Nrisingadeva appeared to assist him. Text 23. Are you ready for text 23? Yes. There are two kinds of bodies for every individual soul: a gross body made of five gross elements and a subtle body made of three subtle elements. Within these bodies, however, is the spirit soul. One must find that the spirit soul by analysis, saying, "This is not it, this is not it." Thus, one must separate spirit from matter. They have a little table or something. It could be above the ground. This is not it. This is not it. As previously stated, Swarnam yata gravasu hema kara shetrishu yogais tada bigna apnuyat. That statement came previously when Prahlad was describing the geologist A geologist has a special eye. My sister's a geologist. She teaches geology up at Western Washington University. And whenever I've gone anywhere with her, she always picks out the rocks. Say, oh, this is this, this is that, this used to be a ocean, this used to be something else. And she knows her rocks. I never showed her a Shalagram Shila, though. She looked, that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And have perfection. But she has an eye, she can see things, the trained eye can see things that others cannot. And so one has to cultivate spiritual knowledge to see the soul. And then one becomes a pundit. This is actually a pundit. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastani Shunichaiva Shupake Cha Pundita Samadarshinaha. A pundit, a learned person, Krishna says. It's not a PhD. It's, what is it? A master's is more of the same. And that's a MS, master's, more of the same. And PhD is a plow department. Probably used to say plow department. Or piled higher and deeper. So, but, of course, nothing against education, but real education means to come to see the difference between the soul and the body. And therefore, Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampane, the vision of a truly learned person is that he or she sees that within the body of a cow, an elephant, a dog eater, a Brahmin, the same spiritual soul is there. And that's real learning, real knowledge. So that can be cultivated. Just as there's a cultivation of any other kind of knowledge like geology, one can cultivate this knowledge and come to see the soul within the body everywhere. Very specifically, Prabhupada gave three verses in the cultivation of knowledge earlier when he said that, do you remember the three verses that he gave in the purport to speaking about cultivating spiritual knowledge? The first one was about how one should have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master. You know that verse? Yasya Devi para bhaktir yata devi tatagaro tasya te katita hyarta prakashanti mahatmanaha. To one who has implicit faith in both Krishna and the spiritual master, the guru, simultaneously, that person, all knowledge, Vedic knowledge, becomes revealed. Matter of faith. Then he gave the verse, Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabaved Graimindriye Seva Mukihi Jivado Swayameva Spuratyada, that one can't understand Krishna by the blunt material senses. That includes the mind. Through speculation, I can't understand. I can't measure the length and breadth of Brahman through the mind. But he reveals himself to one who renders service to him, beginning with the tongue. Jihva adao means beginning with the tongue, one does seva. And what kind of seva is that? There's a perfect kind of seva. You can Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Also, there are five austerities of speech mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, which bring one to the mode of goodness. What are the five austerities of speech mentioned in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita?
Truthfulness.
Okay, there's satyam, then there's pleasing means priyam, then beneficial, hitam, then avoiding speech that offends or that agitates others. And the fifth one is swadhyaya bhyasanam chaiva, means you should regularly recite the Vedas. Just by repeating Bhagavad Gita, by singing at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day, then the tongue becomes purified, the consciousness becomes purified. Then the third verse that he gave in the purport for how to cultivate this spiritual knowledge, developed this vision. Bhaktimam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvataha tatoman tatvato gyatva vishite taranantaram. By bhakti, as he says, Krishna says, by the process of bhakti, which is summarized by Krishna twice in the Bhagavad Gita, manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mami vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmaram parayanaha. That means fix your mind upon me. This is bhakti. Fix your mind upon me. Always think of me, he says. Manmara, bhavamad bhakto, madhyaji, always worship me. Bow down to me. What else? Become my devotee. And offer obeisances to me. Offer obeisances, become my devotee. Worship me. Always think of me. And these can be achieved through the nine processes, the ninefold processes of devotional service, beginning with shravanam, hearing. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, pada sevanam, archanam, bandhanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmani vedanam. By hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, lotus feet, and so on, then one can think of, one thinks of Krishna automatically. Whatever we hear, we remember. And when we hear, then we repeat, then we remember. So one can be engaged in devotional service 24 hours a day through this process. And this is cultivation of spiritual knowledge. This is the only purpose of the human form of life, this kind of cultivation. That is what it's meant for. Any other kind of work we heard earlier that doesn't provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, other kinds of work that I'm doing that don't lead me to a greater taste for hearing about Krishna, for speaking about Krishna, is called shrama. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Three times emphatically said, eva hi kevalam. Each one of these is an emphatic proclamation that certainly, without doubt, absolutely, it's a waste of time if it doesn't lead to this attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shrama eva hi kevalam. So as I was saying, we're counting down the minutes until the appearance of Lord Nrsingadev, who appeared during which time of the day?
Dusk
time. Why did he do that? Why did he appear at dusk? It was part of the, it was in the contract. He had a contract with Brahma. It was in the fine print because he didn't want to die in the day or the night, right? He made a deal with Brahma. Brahma was obligated to give him something because his austerities were so severe, and that's the law of the universe. You do some austerity, and then you get some reward. So Brahma was delving out all these austerities to him, and he said, I don't want to die in the day or the night. He figured he had that one sewed up. What else did he insist upon? Not inside or outside.
He doesn't want to die either from any of the created beings of the Lord Brahma, including such as demigods, demons, human beings, animals.
Okay.
Anyone.
Hare Krishna.
He didn't want to get killed by a weapon.
No weapons. Not in the air or not on the land?
Not a day,
right. Not a day, not a night. So all these were kept intact. Krishna's very tricky. He's so many times he comes in and tricks, like Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj had everything sewed up. He had defeated the demigods and he was controlling the universe. But Lord Vamana came, little dwarf, brahmachari, and said, I just want 3 paces of land. That's my charity I want. And he's so tricky that he took everything away from Bali Maharaj by those 3 paces of land, including he took Bali Maharaj himself by placing that on his head. So Krishna knows how to trick. It's described, the Vaishnava understanding of the appearance of Lord Buddha is also described in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Buddha specifically came to bring people to ahimsa, to nonviolence, because they were misusing the Vedas for Jai Shri Shri Radha Manan Mohanji Ki Jai. They're misusing the Vedas to kill animals and eat them. Because there's some provision in the earlier sections of the in the Vedas, especially for earlier yugas, where there were some kinds of animal sacrifice, which was done specifically to test the proficiency of the mantras and the mantra speakers, but the animals would be killed and be given new life actually, through the power of the mantra, inconceivable in this day and age. But then later on, people would use that as an excuse. Just like nowadays, sometimes you can go in India to a market and someone will say that it was meat that was killed by a priest or something like that. They have that in America too. In some religions, they say, you know, the animal was killed by a special priest or something, therefore it's kosher. So people had this idea and they were using the Vedas to kill animals. So Buddha appeared and he told them to abandon the Vedas and just follow him. He said, there is no God, just follow me. But that's cheating because he was God. And they worshipped him. So Krishna's expert at bringing the living entities and or tricking someone who's trying to trick him. He can be much more tricky. And ultimately, whatever he does is for the good of everyone, and he accomplishes many tasks with one action. So when Lord Nrsimhadev appeared, he kept intact all of the benedictions of Lord Brahma because he didn't appear on the land or in the sky or he didn't die on the land or the sky. He died on the lap of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he didn't die in the day or night, dusk. Can't say that's day, can't say it's night. No weapon because he used his nails. Wasn't an ordinary human being or an animal, but it was a man-animal, Nrsimha. Which other ones did he keep? Neither living or dead, so the nails are neither living nor dead. Very good. And it wasn't outside or inside because it was in the doorway, in the threshold. So this is a great hope for devotees, actually, because Krishna is so attentive to details that in our prosecution of devotional service, sometimes we may think, did Krishna leave me behind? Did he forget me? Are my prayers going to be answered? And we must, as you said earlier, you quoted from Rupa Goswami, we must be patient and understand the expertise of Krishna, how he weaves the various aspects of our life together to bring us to the perfection of devotional service. So this pastime, we can remember how expert Krishna is. Prabhupada mentioned that earlier in the purport, didn't he? He talked about how one must be expert to see how expert Krishna is. In another place, Srila Prabhupada says one must be dexterous to cheat death. You have to be very expert to cheat death. Cheat death before death cheats you. And the only way to do that is to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's the master of death. It's the law of this material world. Everyone must die. And it's the influence of Maya that makes everyone think, I won't die. And this was mentioned by Yudhishthir to Yamaraj when he asked him, what's the most amazing thing in this world? And this is the most amazing thing, that everyone's dying at every second, but everyone thinks, I'll live forever. I'll protect what I have. When the tsunami came in Japan recently, there was concentrated death in some places, and people become very perturbed by that and upset, and rightly so, but we don't consider that on a daily basis. If you look at a graph, the whole world is subjected to this kind of death and dying practically at every minute. People are dying and suffering in so many different ways. But I don't see it because of the filtering effect of Maya. I can't see. So Yudhishthir said, this is the most amazing thing, that my vision is blocked from this. So when we remember the appearances of the Lord, we can take shelter of his expertise, how he brings us, how he tricks the demons, and he exalts the devotees in ways unimaginable to us. And therefore, we must keep faith in Krishna. And just as we're speaking and the dusk is approaching, I think Lord Nrsimhadev is also appearing. We're going to have an Abhishekam coming up in just a few minutes, right? We'll have an Abhishek accompanied by chanting of the holy names. Why don't we put away the book stands at this time so we can provide more room for everybody, and then we can start the vibration going, and then we can observe the Abhishek for Lord Nrsingadev. Go pray, Manande, Haribo.